Good question. In your bulletins, there's a piece of paper. What is that piece of paper? Prayer list, prayer request. Just don't have to answer me, but do you really look at that piece of paper and think about the names on that paper? Truly think about them and what those names represent? They're asking for prayer, yes. But truly, they're asking for Jesus to perform a miracle, to help them out in some way. And whatever day that was that we had all that wind this week, I had my prayer list, and I was out on the deck, and I was looking at the names, and a gust of wind had come up, and I don't know, for those of you who have been in my house, you know, right behind my house, there's a stand of pine trees with an opening that looks on down into my woods. And, you know, my deck's about 30 feet off the ground, 25, 30 feet. So I'm standing there. I'm about eye level with the pine trees, and I see them just sway over when the wind hits. And it seems to me no matter what way the wind comes, all the pine needles go on my roof and in my downspouts. But that's neither here nor there. But then I look past them, I look down into the woods, and there's a stand of hickory trees, and there's some oaks and some maple trees, and they're just standing there strong. They don't sway in the breeze. The wind, the leaves blow around on the ground, the limbs sway a little bit, but they stand strong. And I'm thinking, you know, that's a lot like us. Some of us bend in the winds of adversity, and some of us just stand up straight and take it. But all in all, we're all the same when we're asking Jesus to answer our prayers. We're asking for miracles to come into our lives. And I think about the many churches in this town, and I wonder how many of these churches actually have Jesus in them. How many churches is Jesus actually in anymore? I read on the news the changes that they're making, the things that they're allowing in their churches now, the way they're bending to today's society. And I'm thinking, this can't be pleasing to God. I never want to get to that point in my life, but I never want to lose the compassion I have for the lost and the compassion for those that haven't found the way to Jesus Christ and haven't found His strength and His acceptance. In John 14, 12 through 15, Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." It seems like to me Jesus is saying that anything I want I can have if I ask it in His name. And that is what He's saying. So why then can't I look at my prayer list and pray over their people and every one of them be healed, every problem be solved and everyone lifted up in the glory of God? It doesn't work that way. I stand and I look and I wonder, so I read the Word, I try to find the answers. And I want to share with you what I found this week. There are some qualifiers to see the miracles of God in our midst. And the first one, we must truly believe on Jesus and His power to perform miracles. You know, I can stand here and tell you that Jesus can do that, but that's just head knowledge. We got to go far beyond that. We got to have that knowledge in our heart. A true belief of who Jesus Christ is and His ability to overcome any problems in our lives. We have to have an absolute faith and trust in Him. How many of us here today can stand up and say, "I have an absolute faith in Jesus Christ"? Absolute. I can't do it because I slip sometimes. I stumble in my walk. But you know, I have a desire to be like Him. I have a desire to draw closer to Him. And that makes it okay. Because He reaches out. And I know He's there. I try to be a disciple in both word and deed. I try to act out to you the things that I say from this pulpit. And again, I'm not perfect. I stumble and I fall. There's things I wish I could change, I could take back. Some words that slip out of my mouth, at the very second I want to take them back, but I can't. I can just move forward and try to correct the damage I've done. The second qualifier is, to see miracles happen, they have to ask in Jesus' name. The name above all names. You see, there's no power in our names. I can ask, but Satan laughs at that. I'm nobody. I'm weak. I'm a mere mortal. But in the name of Jesus Christ, every demonic power in hell has to bow down on their knees before that name. That's where the power lies. That's where our power lies, in the name of Jesus Christ. Asking in the name of Jesus Christ has the power to end all sickness, pain, and sadness, if that's God's desire. And you know, that's not always God's desire, because miracles aren't performed just to make things easier for man. Wherever we are in our life, wherever we stand, God calls on us to serve Him, to give the glory to Him. We can give glory to God in perfect health, but it's another thing to give glory to God when our health is suffering. Can you truly stand and say that? Could I give glory to God in my younger days, when I could run and do all the things I want to do, and still give glory to God when my hip quits working, my knees give out, my mind gets a little slower? Yeah, we're always the same in God's eyes. We're called on to serve Him. Sometimes we bring more glory to God and Jesus Christ when we're suffering affliction. The Apostle Paul said he had a thorn in his side, and yet he was a servant. God's glory comes from obedient servants like Job that can serve Him in the good times and the bad. I've always wondered why I can't pray over that list and every person be healed or every trouble be erased. But you see, we don't see things like God sees them. We only see the here and now. We can't see the proverbial big picture, what God has for us down the road, what kind of glory it'll bring to Him through my pain and suffering when I can reach out and help someone else that's going through the same thing that I went through back in the earlier years. Can God heal? Absolutely. He is all powerful, and if He chooses to, He can heal with just a touch. But God is sovereign, and He alone knows what He holds for our lives and what the end of the story will be. You see, from the beginning, man's sin brought death on this earth. And it doesn't come easily for a lot of people. It doesn't come easily for me. But for some, it's a great relief. You see, we journey through this time, and we serve God, and we move on, but at some point our bodies start to weaken. Maybe we're racked with a disease, I don't know, but as time goes on, we can pray for that person, but maybe God has better ideas. You see, we're all His children, and each of us, He desires for us to be with Him. And at some point, He'll call us all home, to be with Him, to rejoice with Him, to be in the presence of His light. So sometimes when we pray for a person, it's getting to be the end of their life on this earth, this little travels down here. The prayers aren't answered because God has something better. He wants them with them. It doesn't make it any easier for us as we lose the loved one. But we have to remember that God is in control. And sometimes God simply doesn't choose to heal. He has a different idea. It's a fact we all want to go to heaven, but very few people want to die to get there. Paul tells us in Hebrews 9:27 that it's appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. Another reason God may choose not to heal is he knows our heart and our ability to forget him. You know, I can give examples, but I'm going to draw from my own life. I know there's times when I was on my knee in prayer for God to take something away from me. And it seemed like he wasn't listening. It stayed and it stayed and it stayed. But you know, God is wise. He knows. He knows our hearts. And he knows us that maybe if he takes that problem away, everything will be good and we'll forget about him. We'll be up in the mountaintop again and forget to give God the glory. I suppose that's why the disciple Paul always had the thorn in his side to remind him who he was and who he served. And he could serve God even in that pain and suffering. I think it's an absolutely loving and merciful God that doesn't treat us the way we treat him. Turn to him, have our prayers answered, then forget where the answers came from. The third qualifier I found to see miracles is first we have to be obedient to God's commandments. And not just the Ten Commandments, but all the commandments in the Bible. And I don't know about you, but I struggle with this. There's so many commandments in the Bible, so many things to do, that I can't do them all. As I said before, I stumble and I fall. And I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how I'm supposed to act. God's Word lays it all out for me. But you know, I'm just not good enough. I'm not perfect yet. It's a good thing God's not done with me yet. But he did supply a way, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. He knew in our human state that we can't be perfect, that we can't follow all the laws, but he knows that he can draw us to him. So he sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ that allows him to look on us and talk to us through the Holy Spirit and draw us into that perfection. And hopefully every day of my life, I get a step closer to God, knowing that I'll never reach him until he calls me home. It's the same thing for all of you here today. I look out here, I don't see perfect Christians. I'm not putting you down. I see real people. People I hope that are reaching out to God to be enlightened, to be brought up, and to be taught. I want to share with you, don't give up. He's always there. Even when you think he's not, he's right there. He's just a prayer away or a word out of the Bible. But all these things have to be in the proper order to see a miracle in our lives, answers to prayer. First, you have to believe in the power of God to heal. And I do believe. He can heal anyone of anything, but it's got to be his will. You have to trust in God's mercy and his grace. Truly trust, not just in your head, but in your heart and in your spirit. You have to be willing to give God all the glory, no matter what the answer is, yes or no to your prayer. Give him the glory. And you have to live in obedience to the word, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and then allow God's will to be done in your life. And with that in mind, let's look at Mark 8:23-25. It says, so he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him. He asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Now, this passage represents what happens in our hearts when we're saved by Jesus. The thing that always got me about this passage is, why would Jesus spit on his eyes? Well, God's ways aren't our ways. And I suppose it's no more to think about than blood saving me, washing away my sins. But I want you to remember, there's already been probably the absolute greatest miracle performed in your life, and that is that blood washing away your sins. You're being reborn. And as Robin said in the song this morning, living forever. One drop of precious blood applied to your heart washes away all your sins now and forever. Now, whenever the Holy Spirit begins to open our spiritual eyes, He does it at a slow rate. We can't know what's in store for us all at once. God reveals Himself to us a little bit at a time. Isaiah 28, 10 and 11 says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to His people." First, it's just a glimmer of light and a ray of hope. Eventually, the light becomes brighter and brighter and stronger as God reveals Himself to you. I've said many times to many of you that I'm glad God only revealed Himself to me in my sins a little at a time, because I'd have dropped dead if I knew how bad I was all at once. You see, the first ray of light convicts us of our sins. Then it reveals our whole sin nature. Then the light comes and reveals the great price that Jesus paid. And the light continues to brighten and illuminates our understanding of who Jesus truly was. And then we draw nearer and nearer to the light through the study of the Word and through gathering together in church and the Bible studies and sharing in Sunday school, youth group. We begin to draw off of each other and the knowledge of each other. And as we do that, we draw closer and closer to God with a greater and greater understanding. We draw strength from each other. We're surrounded by a hateful world, but a world we have to reach out to in love and understanding and share that light of Jesus Christ at the leading of the Holy Spirit. But I find with a lot of Christians, they only go so far and then they stop. It's like the blind man could barely see. He could see men walking as trees. But then he continued on and had his full sight restored. Well, some Christians are happy. They're satisfied with that only partial light, partial sight. They don't go on and grow and mature in the Word to get full understanding and full vision. See, Jesus led the blind man aside, away from the unbelieving crowd, so they couldn't hinder what Jesus was going to do. And that's the same for us. We need to draw away from the world, not because we're ignoring it, but we need some time with Jesus Christ to listen to Him without the draw and the distraction of the world around us. We have time with Him in prayer and time with Him in Bible study. If you want a miracle in your life, you have to spend time alone with Jesus Christ. There's no other way it's going to happen. He has to know you and you have to know Him. Get away from those who say it can't or won't happen. And again, I'm not saying ignore these people. I'm saying take some time for yourself in prayer. Get away from the sin in your life that Satan uses to pull you down. Satan will take those things that you enjoy from the world that God wants us to be rid of. And he uses the bright light and the flashy things. And that's the way he tempts us. And each temptation is specific to the person as he reaches out. Those of us that only go part way, only receive partial vision, you're already slipping back into the sin of your life. A half-hearted Christian can't perceive the full greatness of God's love or what he offers us. Half-hearted Christians, what do they see when they look at other Christians? They don't see very clearly. They become critical of others and only see the outward appearances. They don't see the depth of that person, what's going on inside. They haven't had their spiritual eyes open so they can understand. Going back to the trees in my backyard, how do they see you? Are you an ornamental tree that does nothing but fill space? Maybe that's the way it looks on the outside to some. But on the inside, maybe you're praying, you're witnessing, you're doing things when only God can see you. What about a nut tree? We have a lot of nuts in this church. But that's just because we're different. And God uses us in different ways. The spiritually blind may see you just as a nut. But God sees you, as I said before, a very special person. And we reach out to different people, so he needs people that can reach out in different ways. He needs the funny ones, he needs the serious ones, but he needs us all. Maybe we're the evergreen tree. People look at on our outside and they say, well, you never change, you're always the same. But inside, we're changing, we're growing, we're moving into the light. Our spiritual depth is getting deeper and deeper, and our love is getting deeper and deeper, not only for God, but for those around us. Maybe you're a fast-growing tree. We commit it all to Christ, and we grow quickly. Our spiritual life blossoms. Maybe you're a slow-growing tree. Maybe you're like the oak that sets the roots deep and grows slowly, but a lot of strength. Then there's the fruit trees. People's lives who are constantly bearing fruit, bringing person into church to visit, always talking, always putting their shoulder to the wheel. So how do people see you? Are you a halfway there Christian, or are you full committed, fully committed Christian? If you come here this morning and you don't fully understand all the things about God, all I can say is welcome to the club, because I don't either. But God slowly reveals himself through his word. Next time you go outside, look around at the trees and think about what kind of tree you are. Are you a mighty oak, always standing strong for the Lord? I want to point out, when you go out these front doors, look at that pin oak across the street. That's one of the most beautiful trees you'll ever see. How strong it is and how big the limbs are. Maybe you're an ornamental tree and you're only there to look good and not do much of anything else. I hope not. Maybe you're a pine tree, good for building, but a little weak in the winds of adversity. Maybe you're a weeping willow. Now, that can be a good thing, or that can be a bad thing. It's bad if you're always crying and griping about something, but it's a good thing if you're weeping tears for the sins of the people around you. Maybe you're a hedge, Someone that just fills the gap for the church, but stays in place as a guard against Satan. So I ask you today, think about it. Are you what you appear to be? Are you all surface? Or is there depth to your Christian life? Are you what you claim to be? I can claim to be one thing standing up here in front of you. And out in my life, outside of these walls, I could be something completely different. What do others see in you? Do they see the light of Jesus Christ? Or do you reflect a corrupt world back to them? My words mean nothing. It's my actions and the way I appear outside in the world. Jesus came to make you a tree in His kingdom. Isaiah 61:3 prophesies Jesus is coming. It says to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy and for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. We're all called into service. And I hope that you won't settle just for the glimmer, just for partial eyesight, that you're willing to go all the way with Jesus Christ and take the full touch and have your spiritual eyes opened. So please stand. Think about what God has called you to do, what He has for you. And I want you to think about every name on the prayer list, or every time I send a prayer list out over the computer, what we're really asking for. We're asking for God to intervene with a miracle, understanding that the answer might be yes or the answer might be no. But He is still God, and He should still be glorified in whatever He does. Heavenly Father, Father, I thank You for all these people, for so many differences, Father. You call us all together for one purpose, and that is to serve You. And that is to reach out to the lost, to minister to each other, Father, as we strengthen each other's weaknesses. Father, I just pray that You will give me, that You will give this church a heart for the lost, a heart for the hurting, Father. That You would give us wisdom that we could see. And an understanding, Father, that we could hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit in a heart that's willing to obey what You call us to do. Father, I pray that we all be satisfied with the answer that You give us. Be it yes or no, Father, that You would be glorified in our actions. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh.